Welcome to Art Watch, an enlightening foray into the lives of working artists. Come on in, step into our studio, and listen to something unique about the artistic development of some of our friends. I'm your host, Elisha. Today's episode is, admittedly, a little different. Our guest today is a musician, singer-songwriter, visual artist, and president of the Freeborn County Arts Initiative. Sound familiar? Please welcome Elisha Marin.
Welcome, viewers and listeners. This month's episode of Art Watch is kind of a special one. My name is Jonah Fisher, and I will be guest hosting this episode as our interviewee is our normal host, Elisha Marin. So welcome, Elisha.
Thanks for having me, Jonah.
We have a variety of questions here for you, and I'm personally very excited about this because I've had questions for quite a while now since, all of this crazy stuff has happened. So we'll just jump right into it. Can you explain to me, what kind of an artist are you?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm a visual artist and a musician as well. So I have a little design studio called Inkfish where I do all sorts of interesting visual art projects, but I'm also a musician and just released my first album, Shining Out, which is 12 tunes, all of them that I wrote over the last 10 years. And I'm really, really proud of it and really excited to share it with everybody.
Wonderful. Having listened to the album, I can honestly say it's very good. Huge fan. So, when did you start playing music?
I started performing on stage pretty young, mostly through things like playing at church and other public events like that. In school, I learned how to play violin and trumpet through band and orchestra, but my main passion, which is guitar and songwriting, it's all self-taught. I didn't go to school for music. I didn't take lessons for anything like that. So I started writing my own music pretty young and found that it was in the folk Americana genre. I wasn't exposed to that kind of music as a kid, but what was in my soul was this kind of music. And it's a little romantic, a little finger-picky. Sometimes there's some gospel or blues or rock elements in there. But it's pretty earnest and from the heart.
I've noticed your songs tend to tell a lot of stories. Each one kind of has its own feeling and just really interesting stuff throughout them. So I'm probably going to have some more questions on that later, but I also wanted to know, how did you get into your Inkfish studio with your designing, and how did that all start?
That's a really good question. I'm the president of the Freeborn County Arts Initiative, which is a beautiful arts nonprofit in southern Minnesota, and they're some of the sponsors of this podcast. And we needed to have graphic creative output, posters, flyers, artwork for shows, graphics, things like that. And it was a necessity thing. It had to be done. And when you don't have the resources and you don't have people who are able to do that and you're resourceful, you figure out how to do that by yourself. And a lot of what I do visually just came from working with others, collaborating on projects, working on books and posters and shows. So eventually got to the point where I had a good skill set and it was marketable, and I founded a little studio called Inkfish, which is here in the historic Bessesen. I'm opening up a second location in Iowa, which I'm really excited about. You know, Inkfish does everything from video and audio production to graphic design. I designed all of the liner notes and packaging for my album, including, for those of our listening audience who will get a physical copy, the actual envelope that folds up and sends out as a mailer, that was all done in-house.
I have to say, I appreciated that you have all the lyrics on your inside book. I always like to see that in, you know, CDs and everything. That's always nice to be able to follow along or look up specific lyrics when you're, you know, curious. What does your writing process look like? Do the words come first and then the music later? Do you kind of do them hand in hand? How does that look for you?
I think more often than not, the words and the music come together. I was pretty lucky with this album to not have like a deadline for the music. The oldest song on Shining Out, My Girl, is a decade old this year. I wrote it just out of high school. And I'm still really glad that it speaks to people and touches people. It's one of my favorite tunes, I think, although that probably changes day to day and week to week. A lot of these songs I was really lucky to write when the spark of inspiration hit, which is a really exceptional thing for songwriters. And quite often the case is that you have a concept and you're trying to write to that and you're, you know, trying to get the words and the lyrics massaged to both, you know, fit and work together. But when a spark of inspiration really hits you, sometimes both the lyrics and the melody and the chords all happen together and come out at once. And Love is a Luxury is an example of that. But I really, really love, it's one of the most special things when the melody and lyrics and chords, all of the constituent parts can come together just as one, like you're downloading it or it's coming from deep inside of you in some way.
Did you have anybody who really inspired you or believed in you right off the bat when you were beginning this writing process and becoming more musically involved?
That's a good question. I had the unique experience of being in a culture that wasn't supportive of this kind of expression, this kind of individual expression. And so a lot of the songwriting that I did initially just never was shared with anybody because there weren't people who would understand or be supportive of the fact that I was writing music that, you know, perhaps wasn't religious. And my, you know, my music, there are some spiritual elements to it. A lot of it, though, is about life and, you know, just the things that are really enjoyable or big questions in life. And it wasn't until I got connected with the group that would form the Freeborn County Arts Initiative that I really, for the first time, felt freedom of expression, you know, the liberty to, you know, have a creative idea and take it as far as you possibly could. That was a really life-changing thing for me, and I'm forever grateful for, you know, Susie Crane and Gene Park and Joan Claire Graham, you know, everybody who was involved in founding that organization, an arts nonprofit in a small town doing things that are fresh and exciting and maybe outside the norm. That really, really changed my life and sent my life in the direction that it is now. And, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. So that, I think that's probably the moment that I can trace everything back to and say, you know what, this is the part where I actually felt I had first believers in my work, and that's made me the person I am today.
So I have to add a little bit of a personal story here. When your album was being released, you did sort of a live performance in Austin, Minnesota, and my girlfriend at the time, you know, we'd been through so much with the pandemic and everything that this seemed like a really great opportunity for me to propose to her. And so I came to you and I asked you, hey, is this okay? I don't want to, you know, steal the spotlight or anything like that. And your response just, it made my month because it was just so, you were just so excited and so happy to be a part of that. And gosh, I mean, it really speaks to who you are as a person, you know, willing to jump in and help and be a part of something so joyous and happy. And I just wanted to say that I really appreciated that. And it, I mean, it's changed my life you know, forever. So thank you for that. And it was, you know, it, being at that concert was just so beautiful, and to be a part of that and to jump in on the last part of, you know, Shining Out, when we kind of sang in the backup there. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I will say that Jonah is a very smart man, proposing to his wonderful now fiance Emma at a place where there's two professional photographers and three videographers and a live audience. That was one of the most touching and sweetest experiences of my life. I think everybody was bawling their heads off as that was happening. It was really sweet.
Well, I certainly really appreciated, you know, being able to do that. What would you consider to be your most successful moment in whether it be the music you've done or any of your graphic design stuff like that? What would you consider to be the most successful, or what made you feel the best?
Shining Out, this album, is probably my highest point. For me, having had these songs for so long, wanting to get it right and have the right people on it was a really important thing for me. But also, first time in the studio, first time learning the production process. There's a lot of trust that's involved in between the artist and the producer in wanting to get it right and having the approach right. One of the things that I did when I went into the studio for the first time was actually go back to my visual arts. I brought in my portfolio of posters to Matt, and I said, how these posters kind of look and feel is how I want the music to feel. So there's historic references here. There's historic fonts. There's maybe some organic textures that are brought in to make this digital work look like it's not entirely digital, like it has some physical characteristics to it. And in the same way, I want the music, even though we're doing a digital process, I want it to have a feel that's rooted in some sort of tradition. You know, there's some songs on there that feel like they could possibly be from the late 60s, early 70s. Respite Baby, for example, has got this kind of, you know, swagger and maybe more retro feel to it. And I just wanted the album to feel like it wasn't recorded in 2019 or 2020 or 2021. I just wanted it to feel kind of timeless. And I really grew as a person in the recording process. There's a lot of letting go of your ego that's involved. There's a lot of you know, aspects of learning to be a better listener and learning to be a better collaborator and to take notes that you know, maybe are hard to take sometimes.
That's a very good segue into another random question I had. What can we expect in the future here? Do you hope to release another album or more music? What are your future plans?
Yeah, I would absolutely love to release another album. I'm kind of itching to, because this Shining Out has been finished for so long. We wrapped this album up in the beginning of 2020. So we had plans for the release and immediately went into total lockdown and, you know, world history changing pandemic. And then we kind of rescheduled for August and, you know, didn't feel right about having anything in person. So I had a few music video shoots lined up and then was injured in a really freak, horrible bicycling accident, which waylaid me for, you know, 3 months. But I've made a full recovery, and finally we rescheduled again. June 18th, 2021 is when this album finally released. But I think the most important thing right now is for anybody who's listening to this show to check out www.shiningout.net, which has all of the streaming and download and purchase links for Shining Out. The more that we can get it listened to, the faster I can get onto the next one.
Well, I just want to thank you, Elijah, for, you know, switching chairs for this episode of Art Watch. It's been really interesting to hear about, you know, your processes and you know, some behind the scenes of your album, which I'm a huge fan of. So that website that you mentioned earlier, can you remind me what that was again?
Yeah, for people who would like to find more about myself and the album, the best place to go is www.shiningout.net. And that has all of the streaming and download and purchase links. There's a few links to some reviews and other write-ups that people have had. But I thank you for your time, Jonah.
Thank you, Elisha.
And thank you for listening to Art Watch. If you enjoyed the show, please consider writing a review on Apple Podcasts, leaving a tip at leaveatip.org, or if you can, support the production with a small monthly donation. Information on this, as well as the video version of this podcast, can be found at artwatch.us. A very special thanks to this episode's sponsor, the Freeborn County Arts Initiative. Located in the historic Bessesen Former Opera Palace in Albert Lea, Minnesota, the FCAI is an arts nonprofit that offers a wide range of programming, from visual arts to virtual open mic nights. Visit them online at www.fcai.us. This show was also made possible with generous support from the Minnesota State Arts Board, the Southeastern Minnesota Arts Council, and Freeborn Maurer Cooperative Services. We've got a really great show for you next month. I hope you can tune in. Till then, take care.